Welcome to worship on this second Sunday of the season of Easter. I'm Pastor Molly Vetter, and it's my joy to welcome you here to Westwood Church in Los Angeles as we gather for morning worship. We continue to celebrate resurrection, to celebrate the hope and love that God is working in the world, and I'm grateful that you've chosen to join us today. Our congregation is intentional about celebrating the diversity of people who gather in our community. And we give thanks for diversity of age and race, sexual orientation, and gender identity. We believe that our community is richer for the diversity of people who gather here, who bring God's image into this place. So thank you for being a part of our worship today. I hope that you'll participate as much as you're able and ready. There's a worship guide you can download that has music to sing with us and words to speak as we pray and read scripture and worship together. You are welcome in this place, and we are grateful that you are a part of our community. In this time when we worship virtually, we are no less connected in the gift of unity that comes by gift of Holy Spirit to the body that is the church. So welcome. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Voices, sounds of heaven, hear your children ring. Christ. Let us be in prayer together. Breathe in this place, O Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to open our minds, unlock our hearts, and enliven our faith, so that we may welcome the risen one among us. God of all who doubt and believe, by the gift of your Spirit, enable us to hear with our ears and see with our eyes and to touch with our hands your word of life, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God. Amen.
Our scripture reading for today comes from 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies from us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Christ is risen, raise your spirits from the caverns of despair. Walk with gladness in the morning, see what love can do and dare. Drink the wine of resurrection, not a servant but a friend. Jesus is our strong companion. Joy and peace shall never end.
Our second scripture comes from the Gospel of John in chapter 20. It continues the story of that first Easter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other things in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Christ is risen,
will you pray with me? O Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. This year, Holy Week coincided with spring break for my fourth graders' school here in the Los Angeles Unified School District. And this year, because of the oddities of how we schedule and record things during this virtual time, meant that we could get away for a few days on a family vacation. There's still a pandemic, though, and so our family vacations have changed. During this season of the world, we have gotten better at a way of travel that relies on camping in the backcountry, off the grid, out on our own. And in Death Valley National Park, that means camping at one of several dry campgrounds. Campgrounds that have some flat ground and a ring that could be a fire pit, but no other facilities. One of the dry campgrounds that we found in a remote valley off the pavement of Death Valley National Park is next to a playa, a dried up lake bed known as the Racetrack Playa. This area of Death Valley is famous because it's the home to the so-called sailing stones, or the mysterious moving rocks of Racetrack Playa. When you arrive to Racetrack Playa, it seems an impossible sight. Rocks, large rocks, sitting on this vast expanse of flat lake bed, dried so that the mud that had been the surface is now solid and cracked. These rocks sit there with a path behind them, charting their movement across this dry, barren territory. It seems impossible that these rocks could have moved. It goes against everything we know about rocks and how they work in the world, or don't work, that they just sit. And so for many years, the mysterious moving rocks of Racetrack Playa have been an occasion to hypothesize different mechanisms that would make it possible that rocks could move. Some scientists in 2012 set up what they expected to be the world's most boring research experiment, placing additional rocks onto the playa, outfitted with GPS trackers. And it happens that it took only about 2 years for them to catch the rocks on the move. And unlike many of the hypotheses that had been made, the movement of these rocks was facilitated by a strange coalition of elements of the world. The racetrack rocks move when rain falls at just the right time, turning that formerly dry flat lake bed into a thin, shallow pool. And then if it freezes at just the right time, it forms ice sheets that embed these rocks that have tumbled down the mountain and out onto the flat expanse of the lake bed. It freezes them into the ice. And then when the sun rises the next day and the ice sheets break apart, they move together and a slight wind can push these rocks. Pushed against by other ice sheets that have broken apart across this flat surface, dragging tracks in the mud. This is how it works, that sometimes rocks 10 or 20 feet distant from one another will bear parallel tracks in movement across the playa. Now, on one hand, explaining the movement of the rocks seems like it is a diminishment of the mystery and wonder of these strange sailing stones. But for me, pondering this strange coalition of water and cold and wind and sun and solid rock, pondering the coming together of these elements and forces at just the right time, in just the right way, making this movement possible, makes it even a little more wondrous. I think I like this explanation, this scientific telling of the mechanism of the movement of these rocks, in part because it's a reminder that sometimes our view on the world, the ways we put barriers around ourselves or our problems, make what's happening seem impossible or isolate us from the context that we're situated in. But these sailing stones in Death Valley remind us that we are bound together into an interconnected and inextricably bound whole. Those sailing stones, if we see them only as moving rocks, seem an impossibility, but as a part of a system of weather and geography, of water and warmth and cold, as a part of a whole system that they're embedded into, this movement makes perfect sense. In this season of Easter, in this season when we contemplate the wonder of resurrection, we're similarly pushed to see ourselves differently, breaking down barriers that defined us over and against other people, and inviting ourselves to be known by a power of love that is stronger even than death, that transcends our boundaries and barriers, and that connects us together into fellowship. Among our scriptures that we read today were verses from the beginning of 1 John. This book, labeled an epistle, may be a letter or a sort of personal message given from someone who stood within the school and community that wrote the Gospel of John as well. The book of 1 John is full of eloquent language that points us again and again to love as God's identity, that points us again and again back into this world so that we might love one another as a way of being faithful to the God of all creation, to the God who brought resurrection to Jesus, our Savior. 1 John begins with poetic and almost atmospheric language. It repeats phrases again and again, inviting us to enter into a different way of being in the world that assumes a different fabric of reality. And John uses again and again in this passage the invitation to participate in fellowship. Well, of course, 1 John doesn't use the English word fellowship. The Greek word koinonia is a way of articulating a kind of interconnected and interdependent community. And that sense of community, of belonging to and with each other, is part of the invitation of this season of resurrection, to belong not only to God, but to belong to a God whose very being is embedded in this world, whose love for this world is so great that it changes everything, to love a God whose love becomes real as we honor our connection with one another. This call to see ourselves as connected is one that I am especially attentive to in this season of continued pandemic. It's been so long now that we've been separated from each other, and we've begun to talk about how we could reassemble in the church building to begin to make plans for what it could look like to worship together in the same physical space. But there's still some things to work out, some hurdles to overcome, and so we find ourselves again worshiping separate from one another. And so this Easter, I want to remind you that though we are physically separate right now, we are separated for one another for the sake of the good of all, for the care of others, for the prevention of the spread of a virus and disease that have been deadly in our community and have been especially deadly in communities of color and in poorer communities in our nation. It continues to be a pandemic with dreadful consequences around the world. And we recognize that in some countries, there is yet to be a single immunization against this disease. Pandemic, like the Sailing Stones of Death Valley, reminds us of how interconnected things are, how impossible it is to cordon ourselves off or separate ourselves from one another, how, like it or not, we are connected together, we depend on each other, and our actions have impact on others, just as their actions impact us. In this season of Easter, the Gospel of John invites us into this scene later in the day on that Easter Sunday, as the disciples gathered together in a locked room, separating themselves off because they were afraid. They were afraid of this coalition of religious and political leaders who had crucified Jesus Christ, who could only, they assumed, be angrier with his disappearance and now resurrection. Their response to the good news of Christ rising from the dead is a very real fear as they consider the implications on their own lives. And so they separate themselves off from others in a locked room. And it's there, locked inside their own fears and isolation, that Christ appears among them, not in merely transcendent form, but in some physical body that bears the wounds of the violence done to him by the state under whose power he existed, bear the wounds of the destructive power of our allegiances for the sake of control, allegiances between power and money and politics and religion. He bears those wounds and invites them to see and believe. It's in this text in the Gospel of John that we encounter Thomas, who's come to be known as Doubting Thomas. And I feel like every year I want to remind us that Thomas is not a villain in this story. I want to speak up on behalf of those who carry doubts. And I would also note that Thomas, though labeled the doubter, at least of the disciples, was willing to go outside this locked room in which the rest of them sat afraid, so that he missed that first encounter where Christ appeared among them and showed them his wounds. Thomas, having missed that opportunity to see and know, says that he needs to see for himself, to know for himself, to perceive and touch in order to believe this impossible good news that Christ is risen. And so again, Christ appears to them in that locked room, coming to them in their fears. And before Thomas can ask, graciously extends his hands and offers his side, using his own body and the wounds that he bears as an invitation for connection and belief. And belief in this moment is not so much about intellectual assent as a way of being in the world that allows us to give our full selves and our hearts to something that seems implausible, impractical, and impossible. Belief for those disciples and for us 2,000 years later is an invitation to give our hearts to this impossible seeming hope that life in God, that the love of God is more powerful even than death. That it speaks hope into every trauma that's been inflicted, into every fear and division, and draws us out to new life. This is the invitation of our gospel on this second Sunday of Easter, to continue to believe and to let our own spirits participate in a hope being brought into the world through the body of one who bears the wounds of trauma. I am moved to contemplate the depth of love in a God who experiences the violence of this world, who bears the wounds of violence, and who carries them into resurrection, as if to continue to beckon us and the wounds that we bear in the traumas that we continue to experience of violence and judgment against Asian American members of our community, of violence at the hands of the police against Black lives in our communities, of economic oppression that denies opportunity to so many in our communities, of an immigration system that is broken and that lets us label humans as illegal. Into this world of division and separation and trauma, Christ appears in the very midst of our fears, bearing the marks of that trauma, and invites us to know and experience peace, invites us to participate in rising. Still here today, 2,000 years later, Christ comes to us in the places where we are, in the midst of our isolation and brokenness. And Christ invites us not only to be made whole, but to become a part of the community that is the body of Christ, the church empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a presence and power for love and justice in this world. I love this passage from the Gospel of John. I love how Jesus appears inside that locked room and repeats again and again, "Peace be with you," which is both an invitation to what is coming into the world through him and an offered blessing that is immediately present in their midst. And then, as John tells the story, Jesus breathes on them and sends the Holy Spirit, a power given freely to them for the sake of forgiveness. And if for forgiveness, then for reconciliation and healing and hope. When Jesus breathes into that locked room on this Easter afternoon, he is reenacting the gift of life from creation, echoing the story of Genesis 2 as God breathes into that body of the first human, Adam, giving life. As Jesus breathes into that room, he is echoing the gift of God as it not only reconstituted dry bones in Ezekiel's vision, but gave them the gift of life. On this second Sunday of Easter, we see and hear Jesus breathing life into us, into this world, helping us dare to believe that we're the kind of people who can make it safe for one another, who answer the traumatized cries of George Floyd crying out that he cannot breathe with a breath that is life and healing and hope. We hear Christ breathing into the disciples as an invitation to participation in a conspiracy of hope and love in a world full of brokenness and isolation and division. And it connects us not only with all humanity, transcending the barriers of our racisms and the destructive power of white supremacy, but transcending our isolation, the ways we've seen ourselves over and against our contexts, our settings, and even this earth itself. On Easter, we find ourselves as part of an interconnected, hope-filled whole, a coming together of breath and life that overcomes death and violence and gives hope into every moment. And so this day, the second Sunday of Easter, I invite you to dare to believe, to give your heart to a power of God that rises in us still, that invites us to know and believe the gift of God's peace, our belonging to divine love and to one another. May it be so. Amen.
Prayers of the people for the first Sunday after Easter. Lord God, Almighty and Everlasting Father, you have brought us in safety to this new day. We give you thanks for revealing your Son Jesus Christ to us by the light of his resurrection. Grant that as we sing your glory at the beginning of this day, at the beginning of this week, our joy may multiply as we celebrate the resurrection in our daily lives. Preserve us with your mighty power, that we may not fall into sin, nor be overcome by adversity. In all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose. Thank you for showering your kindness on each one of us. Let us in turn reflect your kindness by showering kindness on others. We pray for our brothers and sisters in these United States of America and all over the world, especially as the coronavirus continues to ravage countries and take loved ones, and some leaders have had to mandate social and economic shutdowns again. We pray that you will comfort and sustain those who have lost loved ones to the virus. We pray for those who continue to struggle and suffer from the socioeconomic effects, joblessness, homelessness, ongoing physical and mental health challenges. Impart your wisdom and grace on our leaders, administrators, and medical personnel at all levels, that they may initiate and implement solutions that will be effective for people of all ages, color, gender, and economic status. Grant that all of us who claim the fellowship of Christ's body may show in our lives what we profess by our faith. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit forever. Amen.
Thank you so much for being with us for worship today. I hope you have felt the presence of the Holy Spirit with you where you are. And I hope that you continue to go deeper in your life of faith, in your connection to God, in this congregation, and in your service to the world. If you're not already connected to our congregation, I want to issue a special welcome to you and also an invitation to go to westwoodumc.org/connect to sign up to join our weekly e-news list so that you can have some theological thoughts and information about the life of our community or share a prayer concern. On our website, you can also give tithes and offerings in support of our ministry, an act of faithfulness, and also a participation in the life of this community. I want to thank you for being a part of our worship today and invite you to continue the conversation by joining our Zoom follow-up conversation today. It's a joy to lead this group and an opportunity not only to see other people in the church, but to share in some very small group conversations, a beautiful way to connect in this time of continued separation. As we conclude this hour together today, I pray that you would go out strengthened in belief about what God is doing to draw life out of even death, to give hope in every moment, to connect us together to one another in community and in the whole of creation as we seek to live resurrection hope. Be in peace. Amen.